Before we jump into the source material today, we really need to address this fundamental problem that honestly almost every organization wrestles with at some point.
Yeah, the sheer cost and, well, the incredible complexity of secure logins.
Right, exactly. And that brings us to the supporter of today's deep dive, SafeServer. If you're building an app or, managing an organization's digital infrastructure right now, you are probably looking at these incredibly expensive proprietary authentication tools.
Oh, yeah. Things like Authura or Microsoft Entra.
Google Cloud Identity is another big one. And SafeServer basically helps you implement really powerful open source alternatives to those massive, proprietary systems. And why make the switch? I mean, beyond the massive cost savings, which is huge, it really comes down to data sovereignty.
Which is so critical these days.
Exactly. When you are dealing with legal and compliance requirements like strict data protection, email retention, financial records, and audit trails, you really cannot afford to have your user's identity data just locked away in a vendor's black box.
You need to own it.
And SafeServer guides organizations through that entire process, from, that initial consulting phase to figure out exactly what architecture you actually need, all the way to operating the open source software on highly secure servers located right within the EU.
Which solves a ton of headaches for compliance.
Huge headaches. You keep control, you stay compliant, and you stop paying that ridiculous enterprise markup. You can find more information and get started at www.safeserver.de.
Because honestly, outsourcing your core identity infrastructure to those proprietary giants, it's just a massive strategic risk. And we are seeing a really significant industry pivot toward reclaiming that control.
Yeah, and speaking of risks, if you're building an app today, you might have this like massive blind spot because you're probably focusing entirely on human users.
People clicking buttons.
Exactly. But looking at the trajectory of modern networks, non-human AI agents are, well, they're likely going to outnumber human users in the very near future.
It's not even a question of if, but when.
So true. So today, we're diving into this whole stack of GitHub repositories, security white papers, and developer docs centered around an open source authentication and authorization infrastructure called Logto.
Logto.
And our goal today is to really analyze how modern applications are attempting to secure themselves for both human users and these, AI agents, and how they do it without forcing developers to become like full-blown cryptographers.
Because authentication remains the absolute bane of every software developer's existence. I mean, it's just a
It
nightmare.
really is. Why is that, though?
Well, the friction really comes from the gap between user expectation and technical reality. So a user opens an app, they click a button, and they just expect to be in,
Right,
right?
simple as that.
But beneath that single click is this terrifying labyrinth of security protocols.
Yeah, and I want to look at the actual mechanics of that labyrinth because the documentation we're looking at frequently cites these protocols, like OIDC, which is OpenID Connect, and OAuth 2.1.
It's a big ones, yeah.
Right. But why are these so painfully difficult for a standard product developer to just implement from scratch? I mean, building an app and then having to build your own authentication system, it feels like, I don't know, like opening a local bakery, but then having to design and forge your own bank vault from scratch just to hold the cash register?
That is actually a perfect analogy because it comes down to the catastrophic cost of a tiny mistake. You know, OIDC handles the authentication part, basically verifying who the user actually is. And then OAuth 2.1 handles the authorization. So granting permissions to access certain data, but without handing over the actual password.
Right, you don't want to just pass passwords around.
Exactly. So when you use these protocols, you aren't just sending a username back and forth. You are generating a cryptographically signed JSON web token or a JWT.
Okay, JWT. And what happens if the developer, just writes the logic for that token incorrectly, like a small typo or something?
Total compromise, like absolute disaster.
Wait, really, just from a small error?
Let's say a developer accidentally configures their system to accept a token signed with the wrong cryptographic algorithm. Like they confuse a symmetric key for an asymmetric one.
Oh, wow.
A malicious actor can then forge their own digital pass, rewrite the payload inside it to say, "Hey, I'm the administrator," and the system will just let them right in.
That is terrifying.
It is. Implementing these industry standard protocols from scratch requires like a really deep understanding of token life cycles, key rotation, cryptographic validation. It's not for beginners.
So looking at the developer docs here, Logto's primary value proposition seems to be just, you know, removing that cryptographic burden entirely. Going back to the analogy, it acts as that pre-forged, highly secure bank vault.
Exactly.
The developer just drops it into their backend, and Logto handles all the OIDC and OAuth 2.1 token verification natively.
That is the core utility right there. The developer doesn't have to write the intricate logic to validate a web token. They can just focus on building their actual product rather than, you know, trying to become an identity security expert overnight.
Which is a huge relief.
Right.
And from a front-end perspective, the sources really detail how this translates into the user experience, right?
Yeah, the visual side of it.
Right. Log2 provides these pre-built sign-in flows. So you get passwordless entry via email or SMS verification codes. You have traditional passwords, obviously, and social sign-ins like Google, Apple, or Discord.
The ones everyone expects.
Yeah. But the feature that really stands out to me in the documentation is this multi-app omni sign-in experience.
Oh, that is huge. That solves a major psychological friction point for users.
How so?
Well, imagine an organization that has like a web dashboard, a mobile app, and maybe the community forum. Normally, a user might navigate between those platforms and encounter three completely different login screens.
Oh, I hate that.
Right, because that inconsistency breeds suspicion. Users wonder if they've stumbled onto a phishing site or something.
Okay, yeah, that makes total sense.
Yeah.
So with the OmniSign-in approach, the login screen just looks native and consistent no matter where the user encounters it.
Exactly. It's one centralized sign-in flow for every single application in that ecosystem.
Okay, but I want to push back on this Omni sign-in idea for a second, just based on the enterprise use cases mentioned in the sources.
Okay, let's hear it.
Having one unified login screen sounds really great for the software provider, right?
Yeah.
But what if that software provider grows and lands this massive corporate client?
Ah, the B2B scaling problem.
Right. If I am a large corporation renting space on this platform, I do not want my employees seeing a generic Log2 screen. I want my own corporate branding. Does a system like this force a universal look, or does it, you know, allow for customization at the client level?
That is a critical distinction to make, and the documentation actually specifically addresses this through a concept called multi-tenancy.
Multi-tenancy.
Yeah. Logto does not force a universal look on corporate clients. It is built from the ground up to support business-to-business or B2B scaling.
Okay, let's unpack the mechanics of that. How does multi-tenancy actually isolate one client from another?
Think of the application as a large apartment building. When you have individual consumer users, they each basically get a small, isolated apartment.
Okay, makes sense.
But when you land a corporate client, let's call them Business A, they don't just want one apartment, they want to rent an entire floor.
Right, they have a whole team.
Exactly. And they want the master keys to manage all the individual rooms on that floor. So Logto allows developers to create distinct organizations or tenants within the app. Business A gets its own isolated tenant environment.
So they get their own branding, their own user grouping.
Yep. And most importantly, strict data isolation from Business B on the floor right below them.
Got it. So Business A's database queries cannot accidentally, like, bleed over and expose Business B's user data.
Precisely. That would be a massive compliance failure. And within that isolated floor, the corporate client also needs RBAC.
RBAC, which is role-based access control, right?
Right. And this is another one of those enterprise-grade features that's just native to Logto.
So under the hood, how does RBAC actually restrict someone? Is it literally just a list of names on a server?
No, it's much more robust than that. RBAC attaches specific permissions to roles and then assigns those roles to users via claims in their actual identity token.
Okay, so like a tag on their ID badge.
Basically. So an intern receives a token with, say, a read-only claim, while a manager receives a token with a write and delete claim. When that intern tries to delete a database, the application checks the token, sees the missing permission, and just blocks the action at the protocol level.
That's incredibly secure.
It is. And Logto manages all of this logic, allowing the corporate client to set strict rules without the software developer having to manually code, you know, permission checks for every single user.
Wow. And the sources also highlight enterprise SSO, so single sign-on, as the sort of holy grail of B2B software. We are talking about integrations with SEML, Entra, or Okta. Why do large corporations mandate this so strictly?
It is entirely about compliance and the IT department's ability to maintain a single kill switch.
A kill switch?
Yeah. If a corporation has like 5,000 employees, The IT department cannot manage 5,000 separate accounts across 50 different software platforms. It's impossible.
Yeah, that would be a nightmare.
So they want one centralized identity provider, like Okta. When an employee leaves the company, IT just disables their Okta account once.
Oh, and that instantly revokes their access to every single app they used, including yours.
Exactly. Logto allows developers to plug directly into these enterprise identity providers, satisfying those corporate compliance requirements right out of the box.
Okay, but normally, providing features like SAML integration and multi-tenancy, that requires enterprise-level pricing. But analyzing Logto's pricing model here reveals a really interesting strategy. The first 50,000 monthly active users are completely free.
Which is wild. It functions as this massive safety net for growing startups. By eliminating the upfront cost for those enterprise features, developers can architect their platform for B2B scale from day one, rather than, you know, trying to duct tape multi-tenancy onto a consumer app 3 years down the line when they finally land a big contract.
Yeah, duct taping enterprise features is never a good idea.
Never.
Now, the documentation makes a really sharp pivot here, moving away from human users entirely. And this brings us back to that blind spot we mentioned at the start of the show.
The AI agents.
Yes. How does an authentication system handle the paradigm shift of the AI era? I mean, where scripts, microservices, and AI models need to securely access data. Because if RBAC is like giving different employees different colored key cards, mm-hmm. how do we give a key card to a robot assistant who needs to do tasks on our behalf?
This is where identity infrastructure is currently undergoing a massive evolution. Historically, you know, authentication required a screen, a keyboard, and human eyes to solve a KPTCHA or read an SMS code.
Right. Click all the squares with a crosswalk.
Exactly. But AI agents do not have eyes or smartphones. So Logto is engineering identity for these non-human entities through machine-to-machine or M2M authentication.
And the documentation mentions the Model Context Protocol, or MCP, mm-hmm. in this specific context. Mm-hmm. What role does that play?
So MCP is this emerging standard designed to securely connect AI models to external tools and private data sources.
Right.
If you deploy an AI assistant and ask it to summarize, say, a highly confidential financial report from your private database, that AI needs a way to cryptographically prove to the database that it actually has the authority to read that file.
And Logto handles that.
Right. Logto natively supports the protocols required for those secure automated handshakes.
And the mechanism they use for this is called personal access tokens, or PATs. How do these differ from a standard login token?
Think of it this way. A standard login is like presenting your passport at a border crossing, right? The guard has to look at your face to verify it's really you. A personal access token is more like a diplomatic pouch. It skips the face check entirely, but it is strictly limited in scope. You generate a PT specifically for your automated pipeline. It provides clean, programmatic access without any messy login screens.
And I assume the major security benefit there is revocation. Like, if the script goes rogue or the token is leaked somehow, you don't have to change a master password for the whole system.
Exactly. You just instantly revoke that specific diplomatic pouch, and the AI agent loses access immediately.
That is the exact security posture you need for modern microservices. It just isolates the risk.
Completely.
There is another feature detailed in the sources that sort of bridges this gap between human support and secure access, and it's called impersonation. The documentation describes this as a way for customer support teams to log in as an end customer.
Yeah, this is a tricky one.
Right, because initially that sounds like a massive security vulnerability. Yeah. How does a system allow an employee to inhabit a user's account without, you know, exposing the user's password?
It uses an audit logged temporary session token.
Okay, break that down for me.
So when a user reports a broken dashboard, the support representative doesn't ask for their password. They never see the password. Instead, the rep uses their own high-level admin credentials to request an impersonation token from Logto.
Oh, okay.
And then the system generates a temporary, highly restricted session that basically mirrors the user's view. And crucially, every single action the support rep takes while impersonating that user is permanently logged in the audit trail.
Oh, under the support rep's name, not the user's.
Exactly. It provides the visibility needed for troubleshooting while maintaining perfect cryptographic accountability.
That is brilliant. Okay, so we are looking at an impressive list of capabilities here. Multi-tenancy, machine-to-machine tokens, support impersonation. But the practical reality for a developer is, you know, implementation.
Right, building the thing.
Yeah. If Logtail is open source, does a developer just download a massive repository of complex code from GitHub and just hope they can compile it without breaking their servers?
Well, the open source ecosystem has thankfully evolved significantly past that point. Logtail has really mitigated the integration friction by providing these pre-built software development kits, or SDKs, for over 30 different frameworks.
30? Wow.
Yeah. So whether a team is building the front end in React or Vue and the back end in Python, Go, iOS, Android, Node, there's a native SDK designed to just handle the API calls to Logtail effortlessly.
And the developer experience detailed in the launch options is also really revealing. They highlight a Gitpod launch option alongside a local Docker Compose setup. For someone new to this, why would a developer choose one over the other?
It really comes down to environment variables and speed. A local Docker environment requires you to actually download the containers and run them on your own machine.
Which takes time.
Right. It is highly reproducible, but it relies on your local hardware. Gitpod, on the other hand, spins up the entire open source environment in the cloud instantly.
Oh, so you don't install anything locally?
Nope. A developer can click a link, completely bypass all local configuration issues, and just start testing the authentication flows in their browser within seconds.
That speed of deployment is impressive, but we have to analyze the actual defensive architecture here.
Mm-hmm.
If we return to that bank vault analogy, we really need to know how thick the walls are.
Absolutely.
Because open source code is inherently transparent, right? Which means hackers can study it just as easily as developers.
Well, transparency is actually a defensive advantage in cryptography because it allows thousands of independent security researchers to audit the code. They find the bugs before the bad guys do.
That's true.
But beyond the code itself, Logtail undergoes rigorous institutional auditing. They are SOC 2 Type 2 certified.
Okay, what does that certification actually entail? It's just like a security checklist a company fills out once a year and says, we're good.
Not at all. SOC 2 Type I is a checklist that proves you have security policies in place on a specific day. SOC 2 Type 2 is a grueling, continuous audit. An independent auditor basically monitors the company's operational practices over an extended period, often 6 months to a year.
Wow, just watching everything they do.
Everything. To prove that they actually follow their strict security, privacy, and data access procedures every single day, achieving it is incredibly difficult for a startup to do alone.
Okay, that gives a lot of confidence.
Yep.
And delving into the actual cryptography, the white papers specify that Log2 uses Argon2 for password hashing.
Yep. Argon 2.
How does Argon 2 protect a database if it actually gets stolen?
Well, when a secure system saves a password, it never saves the plain text, obviously. It runs the password through a mathematical hash function to create scrambled text.
Right.
If a hacker steals the database, they usually deploy massive arrays of graphics processing units, GPUs, to guess millions of passwords a second, just hoping to find the text that matches the hash.
Brute force.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Argon 2 is designed to defeat this specific hardware attack.
How does it bottleneck a GPU, though? Like, GPUs are incredibly fast.
They are, but Argon 2 defeats them by utilizing memory hard functions. See, GPUs have thousands of processing cores, allowing them to calculate incredibly fast, but they have very little local memory.
Ah.
Right. Argon 2 forces the hashing process to consume a massive amount of RAM. By demanding memory rather than just processing speed, Argon 2 starves the GPU, slowing the hacker's brute force attack to an absolute crawl.
That is so clever. It essentially turns the attacker's own hardware architecture against them.
Exactly. And for organizations that want to eliminate passwords entirely, the documentation also highlights support for WebAuthn, which is the underlying technology for passkeys.
Right. Passkeys are everywhere now.
Because WebAuthn represents the gold standard for multi-factor authentication. Instead of relying on a shared secret like a password, it uses public key cryptography tied to the biometric sensors on your actual device.
Okay, wait. So when I use my fingerprint or Face ID to log in, my biometric data isn't being sent to Logtail's server.
Correct. Your biometric data never, ever leaves the secure enclave of your phone or laptop.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah. Your device uses that biometric check locally to unlock a private cryptographic key, which then signs a challenge sent by the server. The server only holds the public key, which is useless to a hacker.
So even if the server is compromised, they don't have your face or fingerprint.
Exactly. It fundamentally eliminates the risk of phishing and credential stuffing.
The final aspect of the architecture detailed in the sources really brings us back to the deployment models. While Logtail is open source and can be self-hosted, they also offer a fully managed Log2 Cloud version.
Right, for teams that don't want to manage servers.
And this highlights a critical geographical feature regarding data isolation across distinct regions, right?
Yes, and this is a vital component of international compliance. Log2Cloud operates environments in the EU, the US, Australia, and Japan.
Meaning a European company can ensure their users' identity data literally never crosses the Atlantic.
Never. It stays in Europe, fully encrypted at the database level, with TLS encryption securing the data while it is in transit.
It allows an organization to really leverage the transparency and flexibility of an open source architecture while still meeting the rigorous data sovereignty demands of an enterprise environment.
Exactly. However, it is important to note that maintaining self-hosted identity infrastructure does require dedicated engineering resources to manage updates and security patches.
Right. You can't just set it and forget it.
No. Log2 removes the cryptographic complexity, but the infrastructure still demands operational diligence.
Synthesizing the source material here, Log2 presents a genuinely compelling approach to modern identity management. It essentially democratizes access to enterprise-grade security tools.
It really does.
Developers are handed this pre-built cryptographic vault that scales from, you know, a simple consumer app all the way to a massive multi-tenant B2B platform with single sign-on.
And most importantly, it bridges the gap into the AI frontier, providing the machine-to-machine protocols necessary to secure non-human agents.
Which is huge. What's the broader implication for the industry, in your view?
I think the broader implication is that developers no longer have to compromise between speed to market, operational cost, and deep security. They can finally just rely on vetted infrastructure.
As we conclude this analysis, I want to leave you with a provocative thought regarding that AI frontier. We established that autonomous scripts, AI models, and microservices will soon completely dominate network traffic.
No doubt about it.
So when a network is populated almost entirely by non-human agents performing automated tasks, how will our foundational definition of digital identity have to evolve? Will the security frameworks of tomorrow have to assess not just the cryptographic signature of an AI, but the behavioral intent of its actions?
Honestly, that is the defining security question for the next decade of decentralized computing.
As you navigate that rapidly changing landscape, you really don't have to be tethered to the expensive proprietary giants of the past. And that brings us back to our sponsor, SafeServer. By transitioning to a robust open source solution like Log2, organizations, businesses, and associations gain incredible cost savings while permanently escaping vendor lock-in.
Which is the dream.
Right. Whether your priority is strict data protection, establishing immutable audit trails, or simply retaining absolute sovereignty over your user data, SafeServer is equipped to facilitate that entire transition. You can commission them for specialized consulting to determine if Log2, or another open source alternative, is the exact right architectural fit for your organization's specific needs. From that very first strategy conversation, the full-scale operation on highly secure servers right within the EU, they manage the complexity, so you can just focus on your core product. Visit www.safeserver.de to explore your options. The next time you seamlessly log into an application, take a moment to appreciate the immense invisible cryptographic machinery verifying your identity, and be really glad you didn't have to build it yourself. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.